Today, we are continuing on in our study of Isaiah, and we are dealing with, unfortunately, a very difficult passage of Scripture. Now, the way we're going to handle it today is going to make it, is going to clarify it, but you'll see when you read it that it's going to take a lot of cross-referencing, and so keep your Bibles open, and we'll go back and forth between Isaiah and primarily the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to learn something about Tyre, the burden of Tyre, T-Y-R-E. Isaiah chapter 23, verse 1, the burden of Tyre, how ye ships of Tarshish. For it is laid waste so that there is no house, no entering in. From the land of Chittim it is revealed to them. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. And by great waters the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue. And she is a mart of nations. We talk about Walmart and Kmart. That's where it comes from. It's a biblical thing. The mart, a mart of nations means it's a trading center. Verse 4, be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Pass ye over to Tarshish, how ye inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her far off to sojourn. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? The Lord of hosts hath purposed it, to stain the pride of all glory, and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. Behold the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not till the Assyrian found it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof, they raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought it to ruin. How, ye ships of Tarshish? For your strength is laid waste, and it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as an harlot. Take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot that hast been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and she shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. So it's all clear, right? It's just, what could be plainer? People read things like this and they go, wow, man, that Bible is tough. And you know what? When you read a passage like this, in fact, it is tough. That's why the Bible gave us the opportunity to compare Scripture with Scripture, to look at one passage and look at another passage, and then by doing so, we get a much clearer understanding of what we're reading. And that's what we intend to do today. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us with this Bible study today in Isaiah chapter 23. Blake, why don't you pray for us? Amen. Amen. What we're going to do with this is, opposed to going verse by verse and just running through every verse, because it keeps coming back. For instance, he says in verse 1, how ye ships of Tarshish, and then he says again in verse 14, how ye ships of Tarshish. He's going back and forth and telling you things about the passage. What we'll do is we'll break it down by the elements of what's going on in the passage. And we're going to refer today to some scripture in Ezekiel, primarily Ezekiel chapter 26, 27, and 28. So you might just want to have that area of your Bible handy, because there is also prophecy against Tyre in those chapters, and putting the two together really will help us. Ezekiel 26 through 28 will be our cross-reference primarily. And we are studying Isaiah chapter 23 this morning. Now, listen carefully and understand this. This prophecy that you're reading here is a literal prophecy against a city named Tyre. But this prophecy appears to have its ultimate fulfillment in the destruction of mystery Babylon at the end of the tribulation. So we're actually going to look at some stuff in Revelation at the end of the lesson today and show you some comparisons. Now, the city of Tyre was located on the Mediterranean Sea coast of Lebanon, what is now Lebanon. It is north of Israel. It is south of its sister city, Zidon, and you'll find Zidon on a map today, S-I-D-O-N, and both of those are south of Beirut. You've heard of Beirut because of it's in the news from time to time, and there's been war there and civil unrest and that kind of thing. Now, as you see from this prophecy, there are some things about Tyre we want to notice. First of all, it was one of the oldest seaports on the Mediterranean Sea. Look what he says here in verse 7. Is this your joyous city whose antiquity is of ancient days? You see that? So it's a very old, old seaport at the time this prophecy is given. The flood was in 2348 B.C., and this city was started shortly thereafter, and we hear about Tyre and Zidon throughout some things in the Old Testament. So it's very old, and it's also a very prosperous seaport on the Mediterranean Sea. Look at verse 3. By great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river is her revenue. Watch it. She is a mart of nations. Back in these days when you had seaports and they had vast amounts of land behind them, by that I mean the seaport is on the Mediterranean Sea, it's on the eastern part of the sea, then east of there you've got all these empires. And in order for them to get their goods out to the sea and traded with the islands and other ports in the Mediterranean, they'd have to bring them to a place. They brought them to Tyre, and all the stuff that was gathered from all the other islands and seaports on the Mediterranean Sea were brought into Tyre and then traded back to the countries that came in. So very, very prosperous city. This city maintained trade relations with, look at verse 1, Tarshish, the burden of Tyre, how ye ships of Tarshish. They're not real sure where that is, but it's likely in Spain on the seacoast on the Mediterranean. Chittim, verse 1, notice that, the land of Chittim. That's more than likely Cyprus, which is an island out in the Mediterranean Sea. And then Zidon in verse 2, we know where that is because it still exists today. That's north of Tyre on the seacoast between Tyre and Beirut. And then Sihor in verse 3, by great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river. Sihor is in Egypt, and that is some of you that know something about Egypt. It is along the Nile River, so they have a tremendous amount of crop production there. And so the seed that is sown by the great waters there is loaded on ships and whatever else is produced and taken up to Tyre and traded back into the other countries. In addition to these, look in Ezekiel chapter 27 and notice some other things about Tyre. In Ezekiel chapter 27, if you begin reading in verse 5, you find that Tyre had trade relations with a lot of places. Ezekiel 27, look at verse 5, trade relations with Senir, S-E-N-I-R, Lebanon, verse 6, Bashan, and the company of the Asherites. Verse 7, Egypt. And notice what we're looking at here. They're getting boards of fir trees in verse 5. So they're dealing in lumber. And their oars are made in verse 6. Benches of ivory, so they're trading in ivory. Fine linen from Egypt, and that's how they made their sails. Blue and purple from the Isles of Elisha. And then they traded with Zidon and Arvad. Okay, they also raised up and built ships. They've got caulkers and pilots and occupied in their merchandise. Verse 10, they're trading with Persia, Lud, and Phut, and these are men of war, so they raised up an army. The men of Arvad also. Then look down in verse 12, Tarshish, a merchant city. We read that in Isaiah 23. They were dealing in all kinds of riches. Look at that, silver, iron, tin, lead. They traded in thy fairs. Verse 13, Javan, Tubal, Meshech were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men. They were involved in a slave trade. See that? And then verse 14, Togarmah. They traded with horses and horsemen and mules. Verse 15, Dedan, and they traded with ivory and ebony. Verse 16, they traded with Syria, and there they traded with them in emeralds, purple, broidered work, fine linen, coral, and agate. So they had a lot of precious stones. They traded with Judah down there in Israel in the wheat market, in verse 17. They also traded in honey, oil, and balm. These are commodities. This is the stuff you read about in the Wall Street Journal today, you see. Damascus, verse 18. And there they were trading with the wine of Helbon and white wool. So it just goes on down. They traded with Javan, Dedan, Arabia, Sheba, Haran, Cana, Eden, Sheba, Asher, Kilmad, all sorts of things. And they dealt with gold and precious stones. They also dealt with lambs and rams and goats and all those things. I'm not going to spend all this time just reading the Bible for you. Just notice that they traded with Spain, India, Greece, Egypt, Palestine, Syria, Arabia, Persia, and all these other that were in the Mediterranean Sea. Just a phenomenal trade center. And you think about that today, you could understand it, but it's hard for you to imagine in 700 BC somebody had that kind of deal. But once they could get to the camel trains trades coming in, and once they could get to the water with those ships, they could trade in anything. Now, the prosperity of the merchants in Tyre elevated this city to the status of the crowning city. Look in verse 8 of Isaiah 23. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre? The crowning city. The crowning city. We're known here in Corpus Christi as the sparkling city by the sea. Ed Roy is known as the sparkling city by the feedlot. And Tyre is known as the crowning city. And as a result, her merchants there became very, very wealthy. Notice in verse 8, the merchants are princes whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth. So as it is today, so it was then. The Bill Gates of the world and the whoever else, you know, makes their big money, the Soroses and all that, that trade and all these things. Same deal. These were the honorable men. These were the princes. Now, this city was in the center of Phoenicia. And although this city is gone, its influence is still known today in that our language uses what alphabet? What alphabet do we use? Did you guys ever go to school? Did they teach you history? Have you ever heard of the phonetic alphabet? Okay, it came from Phoenicia, and that's all that stuff was started in this trade center. To get commonality in the languages. Now, the success of this city in its global economy, isn't it funny we talk about a global economy today? That's what they had. You think it's something new. They did this 700 years before Jesus Christ. Or even more than that, but in this prophecy we know it was at least that long. The success of this city in the global economy was due to its underlying association with the devil. Now, you don't read that in Isaiah 23, but you do read it in Ezekiel. So look at Ezekiel chapter 28. In Ezekiel chapter 28, the Lord is addressing his prophecy to, in the first part, the prince of Tyrus, and in the latter part, the king of Tyrus. Tyre, Tyrus, same thing. And he says here in verse 2 of Ezekiel 28, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, capital G, that's what the devil does, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel, there's no secret that they can hide from thee, watch it, with thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords again against thy beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. Now jump down to verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden. Well, wait a minute. God was in Eden, right? Adam and Eve were in Eden. Who else was in Eden? The devil. The devil, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. And then he names them. And then he gets down to verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That's the devil. And he is the king of Tyrus, or the prince of Tyrus, in this prophecy. So the underlying association with the devil is what promoted this country to its greatness and prosperity. You have to be careful with something. We talk about how prosperous and great this nation of ours has become, or had become, and we attribute that to God. But the God of this country is sex, leisure, sports, and money. That's not God. That's somebody else. So, you know, when you start making some comparisons, you see the Lord addressing the devil in this prince or this king. It's through the devil's wisdom, his understanding, and his traffic that Tyre became so prosperous and became so proud. Look back in Isaiah 23 at verse 9. The Lord of hosts hath purposed to stain the pride of all glory. Got to be careful with saying things like the United States is the greatest nation on the earth. You got to be careful with that stuff. God is the greatest God in the universe. If he does use this to bless a nation, amen. But if the nation attributes to itself its greatness, you may find that the underlying association is with somebody far worse. So you see so far, just a little summary so far, Tyre is a great city. Lots of trade relations. That's what you're reading about here in Isaiah 23. Bad association with the devil. Very prosperous, very proud. Merchants, very great men. What does the Bible say about those that are exalted? They're going to be humble. They're going to be abased. They're going to be abased. And so it's for the fact that the devil's influence is known in this city that this city is eventually destroyed by the Lord. That's why this terrible prophecy. Look at verse 9. The Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Look at verse 11. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim, that is, go out in the island there. There also shalt thou have no rest. I mean, he's hunting them down. He's hunting them down. You say, well, why would he for just being prosperous? You know, he told the Jews when they went into the land of Canaan, he said, it's the Lord that giveth thee power to get wealth. And he said, don't you forget that when you get in there and start worshiping other gods. You know what Tyrus was noted for? Idolatry. And if you ever want to get on God's bad side, start worshiping idols. And quit attributing your prosperity, your success, your wealth to the Lord and see what happens. Now, they were predominantly involved in Baal worship. You've studied the Bible enough to know that that's bad. And that worship terribly affected Israel under Ahab's reign when he married Jezebel. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16 and see where Jezebel came from. 1 Kings chapter 16. Where did she come from? 1 Kings chapter 16, we are talking about Ahab. Look at verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. 1 Kings 16, 29. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that was to worship the two golden calves, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and worshipped and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Well, Zidon is the sister city of Tyre. It's just above it, just north of it. And if they were involved in it in Zidon when Jezebel came down, they were involved up in Tyre as well. Verse 32, he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. That idolatry, see, that went with the merchandise that went out of that city. I don't know if you've ever been to places like Spain or Portugal. We went there. You go to Portugal. Everybody wants to go to Fatima. You go to Fatima, and you know what you got? You got all kinds of statues to Mary there, and all kinds of idolatry that people can buy and take with them. It's merchandising. You see it? So the destruction of Tyre then is due to the fact that the devil had influenced this great increase in wealth and pride, and also in idolatry. Now, God effected the destruction of Tyre in two ways. First of all, he sent Nebuchadnezzar there to lay siege on the city and to destroy it. Look at Ezekiel chapter 26. Ezekiel chapter 26. Ezekiel chapter 26 and look at verse 7. Ezekiel 26 and look at verse 7. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companies and much people. He shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field. He shall make a fort against thee and cast a mount against thee and lift up a buckler against thee. That's the way you do it when you're going to lay it to siege. You cut off all access to the city. Verse 9, he shall set engines of war against thy walls like catapults. And with his axes he shall break down thy towers by reason of the abundance of his horses. Their dust shall cover thee. Thy walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen and of the wheels of the chariots. That's a lot of army. When he shall enter into thy gates, as men enter into a city wherein is made a breach, with the hooves of his horses shall he tread down all thy streets. He shall slay thy people by the sword, and thy strong garrison shall go down to the ground, and they shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down thy walls, and destroy thy pleasant houses, and they shall lay thy stones, and thy timber, and thy dust in the midst of the water. So the first destruction came by Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar is finished, you've got, remnants of the city, the wall and towers and things that weren't totally leveled to the ground. And what the inhabitants of the city did during the siege is they went out away from the land and went on to an island that was nearby, about a half a mile away, and they stocked themselves over there. So Nebuchadnezzar, did a pretty good job of spoiling that area and destroying that area, but he didn't get the island. Then later on, Alexander the Great came in, and he wanted to get to that island and destroy what was the rest of that city. And what he did is he used the remains of the city that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, threw all that stuff in the sea, made a causeway, went out to the island and destroyed those guys. By the time it was done, there was nothing left. Nothing. Look in Ezekiel chapter 26 at verse 4. They shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. Nothing left. Verse 14. I will make thee like the top of a rock and shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and all you've got there in the vicinity today is a fishing village. And that's what they do. They spread nets on it. It's amazing. It's just what God said would happen. There's no house there at all. Go back to Isaiah chapter 23. Isaiah chapter 23. The burden of verse 1. The burden of Tyre, how ye ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste so that there is no house. And that's the condition of it. And no entering in. If you tried to get into the port of that city today, the only thing you can get in there is a little motorboat, a little fishing boat. There's no ship that traded in this type of merchandise that can get in there anymore. All the sand, all the dust, and all the debris is in there. It's not accessible. Just what the Lord said. Notice also in verse 4, be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not. That's like a woman giving birth. Nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. In other words, the sea says, I can get you some merchandise over there through the ships, but I can't get you any more children. When God wipes you out and there's nobody left, that's just the way it's going to be. I mean, everybody else had died or else they sailed away to other countries. Look in verse 6. Pass you over to Tarshish. How, you inhabitants of the isle? They left and went over to Tarshish. Is this your joy, a city whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Just ran anywhere she could go to leave. Look at verse 12. He said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. So some went to Cyprus. There also shall thou have no rest. God just hunting them down everywhere. Couldn't even find rest when they ran. Bad deal, huh? Now, the report of this destruction of Tyre was very painful, because there are a lot of people that traded with that city, and it's like, oh man, what are we going to do now? That's why the ships are howling. Just as painful as the report of the destruction of Egypt when Moses left with the inhabitants that were in there of Israel that eventually went on into the promised land. Look in verse 5. Isaiah 23:5. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Do you remember when the spies went into Jericho and they met Rahab? What did Rahab say? She said, we heard what happened at the Red Sea. And our hearts did melt and our knees were knocking together and we were faint and there's no more strength for war. And everybody else says, man, if God could do that to Tyre, just imagine what he could do to us. And it took the wind out of their sails, we say. All right? So that's what's going on in the first part of this chapter down to verse 12. It's a literal fulfillment of a prophecy against Tyre. You see the association with the devil. You see their dependence upon their merchandise and wealth. And God says, let me show you something. And I mean, down they go. Okay? But what's the last part of this chapter? This thing beginning with verse 13, why does he make reference here to the Chaldeans? Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this people was not till the Assyrian. Well, we know who that guy is. We studied him back in Isaiah chapter 10. Founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof. They raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought it to ruin. Well, God's using this to tell them something. He says, you remember how God set up the land of the Chaldeans? Well, God annihilated that. But you know what's interesting? When Isaiah writes this prophecy, Babylon hadn't even attacked Judah yet to take it over. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom is just now getting ready to rise, and he's already talking about it being ruined. As if it's something beyond that time looking back. And he makes a reference to the Assyrian. Who is the Assyrian? Do you remember? It's Satan. If you remember from our study in Isaiah chapter 10, the Assyrian is the rod of God's anger, and he gets wealth through his traffic in wisdom, and then God destroys him. And what he has done is the devil has set himself up in kingdoms all the way through time. Do you remember a fellow named Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10 that set up the kingdom of Babylon? All right, that's the devil working through that man. Do you remember a man named Pharaoh who took the Jews and made them slaves and killed their baby boys? The devil was working through that man. And so what he's making reference here now is he's broadening the prophecy against Tyrus, and he says, I'm going to destroy you, devil, wherever you pop up your head. In Assyria, or in Babylon, or in Tyre, or in mystery Babylon coming at the end of time. Wherever you pop your head up, I'm coming up. This latter part of the chapter seems to take the prophecy and expand it to the devil and reference the tribulation. Watch. Verse 15, it came to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king. That's just like Israel was in captivity to Babylon for 70 years before they came back. After the end of 70 years, Tyre shall sing as an harlot. Take a harp and go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. Well, brothels typically accompanied seaports, so she's trying to get up a trade again. And it shall come to pass, verse 17, after the end of 70 years, that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord. to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. There are three references in that passage that I stressed when I read it that are all connected with Mystery Babylon right before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One is that she commits fornication with all the kingdoms of the world in verse 17. Another is that she's a harlot in verses 15 and 16. Another is in verse 18 that she shall be holiness to the Lord. And the last is that they dwell before the Lord. There's four references there to people at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see those? A thorough reading of Revelation 17 and 18 reveals similarities between Tyre and Mystery Babylon. Let's go to Revelation 17 and 18 real quick. And I'll give you some comparisons here. Now, I'm going to tell you where the comparisons are located in Ezekiel, in Isaiah, but in order to keep from going back and forth until you're hypnotized with turning the pages of the Bible and you fall asleep and forget everything, we'll look in Revelation 17 and 18 and I'll make reference back to those for you, and then you can look at the notes that are posted on the internet tomorrow and you can start looking them up for yourself. Revelation 17. Notice Tyre and Mystery Babylon are, number one, both harlots. Look at Revelation 17, look at verse 1. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore. There you go. We read in Isaiah chapter 23 that she's going to sing like a harlot. Both have worldwide influence. Look at Revelation 17 at verse 1. This whore sits on many waters. Okay, what are the many waters? Verse 15, he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And we saw how great was the influence of Tyre with all those merchant cities with whom she was trading in Isaiah 23. Both of them commit fornication with kings. Look in Revelation 17, 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Revelation 17, 2. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunken with the wine of her fornication. That's just what Tyre does after the 70-year period in Isaiah chapter 23. Both of them are overcome by the Lord. Look in Revelation 17, 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. You see that? And we read back in Isaiah chapter 23, verse 9, that it was the Lord of hosts that purposed it against Tyre. Both are defeated by nations. In other words, there are nations that come in and attack to destroy them. Revelation 17, look at verse 16. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So these 10 kingdoms attack Mystery Babylon and overthrow it. We noticed when we were looking in Ezekiel that the Bible says, the Lord said, I'm against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee. Both made the merchants rich. Well, we saw that in Isaiah chapter 23. Look in Revelation 18. Revelation chapter 18. Look at verse 3. All nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Notice also that both are bewailed by kings. In other words, when Tyrus is destroyed, the kings cry. And when Babylon, Mystery Babylon is destroyed, the kings cry. Revelation 18, look at verses 8 and 9. Therefore shall all her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Why? They don't have access to her money anymore. How do you think China's going to feel when America can't repay its debt? I mean, if God lifted his supernatural hand of protection upon this country now, our currency is worthless. Do you think the kings of the earth would bewail the loss of their merchandise in our trade relations? The Bible says in Ezekiel 26, I'll just read it for you, all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones and lay away their robes and put off their broidered garments. They shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground and tremble at every moment, be astonished at thee. They shall take up a lamentation for thee. So all the kings of the earth are bewailing her. The merchants bewail her. Look in Revelation 18, verse 11. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. And they do with Tyre. All that handle the war, the mariners, all the pilots of the sea shall come down from their ships and stand upon the land and cry bitterly at your destruction. They're bewailed by the shipmasters. Look at Revelation 18 and verses 17 and 18. Revelation 18, 17 and 18. In one hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning. The same is true of all those that are in that are crying. How, the Bible says, ye ships of Tarshish. Both trade in all kinds of the same merchandise. Look in Revelation 18. We know the merchandise that we read about that Tyre traded in. Look in Revelation 18, verse 12. Gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple silk, scarlet, thyme, wood, ivory, precious wood, brass, iron, marble, spices, cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, beef, sheep, horses, chariots, and slaves. They did everything just identical to what Tyre was doing. Do you see the connection? Both cities are beyond compare. Revelation 18, 18. They cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, said, what city is like unto this great city? Do you know they said the same thing of Tyre? Of Tyre, they said in their wailing, they take up a lamentation against thee and lament over thee, saying, what city is like Tyrus? It's identical. Both of them are totally annihilated. Revelation 18, verse 21. A mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. You know what? You go over there looking for Tyre and they can't find it today. Both of them, identical. They are thereafter devoid of music. Revelation 18, look at verse 22. The voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. The same is true of Tyrus. The Bible says of Tyrus or of Tyre, I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease and the sound of thy harp shall be no more heard. Identical. And their merchants were the great men of the earth. We saw that in Isaiah 23:8. Look at Revelation 18:23. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For the merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Involved in idolatry. Listen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 connections that are identical between the two. You know what's doing that? The devil gets in one and God destroys it. He gets in another one and God destroys it. He comes up in Mystery Babylon and fulfills the ending prophecy against Tyre in Isaiah chapter 23. It's an amazing thing. Absolutely amazing. God is very thorough and the devil is as well. All right. He says here in verse 18 of Isaiah 23 that her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up. Do you remember when they went in and destroyed Jericho? God said, that's all mine. Then when they went in and destroyed Ai after coming out of Egypt, God said, okay, now you guys get to keep that. He said, this stuff is not going to be treasured or laid up because it's the price of a whore, but it's going to be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. You see that? Let's look at the last reference today and then we'll close. Look in Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah is the second to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 14 and look at verse 20. Let's look at verse 9, just so you know the context. Zechariah chapter 14, look at verse 9. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. Okay? He's going to be there in Jerusalem. Okay? Verse 14, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. Okay, so just what he said is going to happen. And then, verse 20, in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. That's what he said would happen here. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar, and every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein, and in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite at the house of the Lord of hosts. The Lord's there, and everything that comes that's sanctified after that war is holiness to the Lord. Just what the Lord said would happen. You know the beauty of the Bible? John wrote the book of Revelation in 96 A.D., Isaiah wrote the book of Isaiah in 700 B.C. The Holy Spirit was the one that got it down in writing, and the Lord God is going to make it all come to pass, just like He said. Father, we sure are thankful today that Your book is true, and we are thankful that by reading it we see things that could not be seen without the work of Your Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray this difficult passage has been made clear and understandable to these that have gathered today to study. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that You will help us not to change it, not to rewrite it, not to make it fit our P-level understanding, but help us by the power of Your Holy Spirit come to Your understanding and yet to be able to live by it so we'll understand it. We're not deceived by a global economy where people say if we can do all these things, things will get better. It's not true. They actually get worse. It's for that reason we say, even so, come Lord Jesus, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen.